Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest, Karen Ignani. She's back again. Karen is the chief executive officer of Emblem Health. Throughout her career, Karen has received countless honors and recognition. They include being named to the list of Health Power 100 by City and State, and Labor Power Players by Politics New York. Karen also serves on many city and state federal advisory boards, too many to mention. Prior to joining Emblem Health in 2015, Karen was the president and CEO of America's Health Insurance Plans. She was also the director of the AFL-CIO's Department of Employee Benefits, a staff member on the U.S. Labor and Human Resources Committee, and staff member of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Karen, welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here.
Thank you. A lot of things have happened since your last appearance. Health concerns for everyone. Health concerns are in the media constantly. Rising medical costs, inadequate insurance, or no insurance coverage are topics of discussion everywhere from presidential debates to kitchen table. Do health insurers have a responsibility to their communities?
Absolutely. That's our answer, unequivocally. But I think the reason I say that with such force and emotion is that we're a not-for-profit plan. So we're different. We're unique. We have a special mission, and we take that very, very seriously. And let me give you some examples about how we're walking the walk, because it's one thing to say something, but it's great to give examples so people who are listening can understand and maybe take advantage of what we have in the communities. We set up 14 neighborhood care centers. We continue to add to those the number of centers in the boroughs across the areas that we serve. And these are places, safe spaces, where people can always get a cup of coffee, where they have a kind and very well-trained staffer to listen to their concerns. You do not have to be a member of ours to go into our neighborhood care offices. You can get help with disparities in care, which I know we're going to talk about. You can get help with transportation. You can get help with mental health care services and a range of things. It's part of our mission. We're talking in October. So we're just ready on the precipice of launching two more neighborhood care centers, another in Queens and another in the Bronx. So we're excited about that. And those are some examples of how we provide service to the community to tune into what the community cares about, is concerned about, and try to make sure we're always changing and calibrating that diet to make sure we're providing the best first-class services that our members should expect. We also have an award-winning physician practice that I want to use every opportunity to brag about. It's called Advantage Care Physicians. We serve about 500,000 individuals, many of them city workers, but they're also Medicare members, Medicaid members, members who are part of the healthcare exchange. We serve small employers, and we serve others in the community. And they are distributed across the boroughs as well. And one of the things that we're very proud of, this is award-winning. They've attained the highest status of quality care that the government can give and the recognition that can be given. So we're very proud of that. And then finally, we partner every day with community groups to advance community issues and to make sure that we're being good neighbors, if you will.
Now, you mentioned the two new centers that are opening up.
Yep.
They're in Queens, and we're in the Bronx with these two.
Oh, sure. Elmhurst in Queens, and that is going to be opening, and we'll do a proper notification to everybody in a couple of weeks. We're excited about that. And Southern Boulevard in the Bronx, and we're excited about that. Right near the trains, so very nicely located, beautiful space. And we're going to continue this mission, continue to grow our neighborhood care centers, because the community in which we are embedded, no matter where, what borough I'm talking about, has really validated the fact that these centers are needed, are wanted, and welcomed.
Now you mentioned the community, and we mentioned healthcare. We know we have a lot of migrants that are in New York City. A lot of migrants are visiting your centers also.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have people, a lot of city workers visit our centers.
Yes.
We have people in every part of the membership we serve coming to these centers. And it's a credit to my colleagues who work in these centers. They're nurses, they're social workers, they're community workers, and they are, Greg, so dedicated to the places where they are serving not only our members, but people who live in the community. And I would say, very importantly, they look like the communities they serve. So that's very important, so that we can be very tuned in to the needs of the various communities.
Now, you're in the community. How can your health plan connect with the community it serves? How do you do that?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, we're local. We're located here. I'm talking to you from our office on Water Street. We are located here in New York. So we know the communities. We live here. These communities matter to us. And the people who serve our members live here, and the communities matter to them. So that's the first thing. We have a long history. We're almost 100 years at Emblem Health, serving city workers. We were started by Mayor LaGuardia because he wanted high quality, affordable health care for city workers. So the next decade, it's hard to believe we're going to be talking in 10 years about the 30s or less than 10, that we will hit our 100-year anniversary with the city of New York, which is great. So we're located here, we live here, and our community centers are a very strong and important validation of the fact that not only do we want to provide health plan coverage, but we want to make sure we're doing it in a way that is helpful to the people that we are serving in the broadest possible way. And that's a serious mission for us. We partnered on hunger campaigns throughout the boroughs with a range of community partners, community service organizations. We've partnered with the mayor on his hunger campaign as well. And Neighborhood Care is playing a very important role there because we are located right in the middle of the communities that everyone wants to reach. We do back to school events where we distribute free backpacks to kids, which is so important. It's just such a treat. I remember I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, and we didn't have money to buy backpacks and new backpacks. So for a child to get a new backpack, that's a real treat. So we focus on that. We partner with different organizations, different unions, actually, to hand out backpacks. We do wellness days. So to help people, again, walking the walk, help people get screenings they need, help that point them in the right direction of what should they be looking for in terms of healthcare, things of that sort. And we do career days for high school students. So again, tuned into the community, we hire from the community, and that's all part of this mission that we're talking about.
Okay. In June of this year, the New York City Council unanimously passed and Mayor Adams signed into law legislation to increase the transparency of healthcare and hospital costs by allowing New Yorkers to compare costs charged by New York City hospitals for the same service. Also, to make it easier for New Yorkers to know healthcare costs and comparison shop. This is the new law that creates the Office of Health Care Accountability to examine and monitor pricing practices. What is your take on this new law?
Kudos to the council. It was a very, very hard fought battle. I know that a number of the union leaders and members supported that, because you can't really analyze what you can't see. If things are a black box, you don't know what's inside that box. So what I think this does is shine a light on what we've been talking about in the policy community for a very long time, healthcare costs. But if there is any phrase that clears a room faster, I don't know it. When you talk about healthcare cost reduction, people go running for the hills, because my cost containment is somebody else's revenue reduction. So kudos to the council, because transparency allows folks to look, to analyze, and to ask, why is a particular hospital charging 500% of what Medicare pays, the government program, or 300%, or, you know, where do they rank? And that's a great objective way to assess what we're paying. That isn't a quality judgment. It's how to assess what we're paying. And then the next step, of course, is to look at quality. What do the quality data tell us? So I think this starts a very, very important conversation in New York City. Again, kudos to everyone who supported it. Kudos to the council. But I think it's an important first step. But it's only a first step.
Well, you say it's a first step. What would be a second step? What would you recommend to help control healthcare costs?
I think the council and the city will see very quickly that costs are very high, to state the obvious, right? Then they will begin to ask important questions about why are costs high. In New York, in the state, over a period of, you know, a couple of decades now, there's been a significant amount of consolidation that's been allowed in the hospital community. It's very rarely talked about, certainly not part of any policy proposals that I know of. It's been allowed to continue. But what has not been looked at is, what are the implications of this? If, as a health plan, we need to deal with and have a particular important hospital in our network, for them to use their market power and say that you have to have me in every network, or for them to use their market power to say that if you are going to try to contain costs for the unions you serve, in our case, for the employers we serve, in our case, or the individuals we serve, in our case, then if you're going to move things outside the hospital, meaning outpatient facilities for certain surgical procedures where they can be done safely, to allow provisions that require revenue neutrality, that we have to hold people harmless if we do that, that's a great example of the kinds of things that I think now will come to light. And I think it's in the public interest for this to come to light. And I notice in Washington, people are starting now to talk about looking at contract clauses. They're concerned about consolidation. They too are concerned about transparency. So I think the council started something important here. But I don't think this is the end of it. I think this is the beginning, as it should be.
You're listening to Reaching Out. A very special guest is Karen Ignani, Chief Operating Officer, Chief Executive Officer of Emblem Health. And we're talking about healthcare and the changes in healthcare. We often hear about the importance of primary care and prevention. Can you explain and what these terms mean, and what do they do to help people live healthier lives?
Okay. So think, the best way to think about this is first, second, and third. Primary care, what can you do to keep yourself well? Second, what do you do if you have a chronic illness? Third, what do you do if you need what we talk about in the health insurance in the health community, tertiary care or hospital care, you know, just sort of on that end of the spectrum. So primary care is really focused on bucket number one. You know, how do you keep yourself healthy? And I know everybody's eyes are going to roll when I talk about the usual suspects here, which is how do we keep our sugar down or avoid it altogether? How do we keep our salt down, avoid it altogether? Those are things we can do in our diet. And one of the things we did through Neighborhood Care, we published How Do You Eat Healthy in a Bodega, for example, to give people a helping hand there. So diet is really important. Immunizations are important. I'm about to have my next COVID immunization. So a shout out to everybody to get their COVID shot, but I'm getting mine this weekend. It's important to do and keep up with immunizations. Get your flu shot, get your mammogram, get your regular screenings, get your checkup. Again, try to determine everything you can do to detect disease at the earliest possible stage. And then the next part is to, when you have a diagnosed disease, illness, what have you, to make sure you're taking your medication and doing everything you can, again, to keep yourself out of bucket number three. That's not saying anything negative about bucket number three, but we all want to do our best to try to get disease at the earliest possible stage. It's healthier, it's better for families, better for individuals. I also think in primary care, we're getting smarter on the importance of encouraging people to reach out for help if they feel they have depression, if they feel they're isolated. And now there are so many virtual options, which frankly is easier for people. They find it less awkward. That's what our beneficiaries tell us. So take advantage of that. Seek help. Do that as early as possible. So our job as a health plan is to remind people, to assist them in making an appointment, to give them the information about when they had their last flu shot, et cetera, so that they can keep up with what they need to do everything in their power to keep themselves out, you know, just keep disease from developing or manage it in a way that you're not looking at a catastrophic condition. That's the simplest way to say it.
Okay. It's putting air in your tires before you...
Yeah. Oil.
Yes. Right. Yes. Maintenance. We know that individuals' health is affected by factors such as inadequate home heating in the winter, and if they can afford and find healthier foods. Do health plans try to address these factors?
Yes, because you can't focus on anything we've been talking about if you're hungry. And you can't focus if you're going home or you're at home in an apartment that doesn't have heat, or given the high temperatures now with climate change, that doesn't have air. So yes, most definitely. Our job and our neighborhood care centers help us do this every day is to help people deal with the what we call social determinants of care, but there are all these issues that you're probing. You know, how do people have enough to eat? Do their families have enough to eat? Do they have a stable place to live? You know, what can we do if they have asthma? Can we do a home inspection and advise them that they ought to take up the rugs because it's better for breathing, because that traps a lot of particles, dust, dander from pets, et cetera. So things like that is definitely part of our mission. And we see that mission very, very broadly. We also have the advantage of, you know, helping people in every stage of the healthcare journey, whether it's the prevention we were talking about, the chronic care maintenance, or the tertiary care, the catastrophic care that people need. People need knee replacements, they need bypass surgery, they need a range of things, they need infusions. Our job is to help with that every step of the way and every stage.
Most experts believe our country and city are in a mental health crisis.
Yep.
What can be done to make people feel better about their mental health?
I think one of the most important things, and this is going to strike you as very simple, but I hope doesn't sound simplistic. I think one of the most important things that can be done is to talk about mental health and the importance of it, the way we talk about primary care and acute care health, if you will. Because if we can destigmatize mental health, for a very long time, people didn't feel comfortable. They felt awkward. They felt that people were going to judge them if they talked about needing mental health services. And we have to break down those barriers. We have to give people a sense that they have safe spaces to talk about these issues. We have to encourage them to talk about these issues. We've done so much in society about healthy eating, importance of preventive care, importance of chronic taking your drugs if you have a chronic illness. And more people are focusing, thank goodness, on the issues of depression, on feelings of isolation, and other mental health and behavioral health issues. We have to give people a helping hand, and everybody has a part to play in this so that people don't feel that there is a stigma attached. There are safe spaces and they can get the treatment and the help they need. It's so important, and it's as important as anything we've been talking about.
Yeah, because in the past, we used to talk about mental health and it was bad, you call somebody crazy. But now we say, please seek mental health.
Yes.
Please, before something serious happens. It's not,
exactly.
There's no shame in getting help that you need before something becomes a crisis and things are really bad and you can't come back from that.
Yes. Everything in healthcare should be about preventing the worst thing that can happen, whether it's acute care, behavioral health, mental health, et cetera. And I think if people just think about that, then there'll be a more of a focus comprehensively on the earliest stages, which is so important.
Now, you mentioned getting a flu shot, and you mentioned getting another COVID
yep.
vaccination. I'm an average citizen. Unfortunately, I don't have health care. Where can I go to get a COVID shot?
One of the things that I think is really just wonderful about this city, they have created the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is designed for people who do not have health insurance, not exclusively that, but certainly they play such an important role. It's run by Dr. Mitch Katz, who is a terrific leader. And they have done a yeoman's job throughout the pandemic, offering healthcare, offering immunizations, offering testing to people who don't have coverage. So we're very, very lucky in this city to have that resource here. And they are doing it again. And that is not only to be admired, but applauded. And I think that the mayor, the council, the city itself, just having been so supportive of that operation, is absolutely the right thing. I've seen other cities where there isn't that kind of infrastructure and people really are left to fend for themselves. But here we have a place for people, which is so important.
Very good. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment, Reaching Out. Karen, we're going to invite you to come back as many times as you could spare time and have something that you want the public to know about.
Thank you, Greg. Get your COVID shot.
I certainly will. I'm not going to hesitate. Thank you for coming back to Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.